From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. The government's latest readout on the federal budget deficit is expected to show the red ink for the fiscal year that just ended in September will top $1 trillion for a second straight year. The Congressional Budget Office is estimating a deficit of nearly $1.3 trillion. That's somewhat lower than in the previous year, though, when the deficit hit a record high. But the high deficits pose another political obstacle for Democrats trying to retain control of Congress in the upcoming elections. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid is locked in a tight re-election battle, a battle that's considered too close to call. His GOP opponent is Sharon Angle, who's a Tea Party favorite. They faced off in a debate last evening on PBS, with Angle questioning Reid about his personal wealth after his modest upbringing in the town of Searchlight, Nevada.
You came from Searchlight to the Senate with very little. Now you're one of the richest men in the U.S. Senate. On behalf of Nevada taxpayers, we'd like to know, how did you become so wealthy on a government payroll?
Reid called Angle's remarks unfair.
That's really a kind of a low blow. I think most everyone knows I was a very successful lawyer. I did a very good job in investing. I have been on a fixed income since I went to Washington. I've lived off of what I made in the private sector.
Reid is seeking a fifth term in the Senate. A new report finds that advertising for the upcoming elections is up 75% from 2 years ago. NPR's Peter Overby reports that among the ads not sponsored by candidates or political party organizations, the vast majority of the spending is by pro-Republican groups.
The report says that candidates, party committees, and outside groups have laid down $198 million for ads in House and Senate races, and that's just in the past 5 weeks. Erica Franklin Fowler is director of the Wesleyan Media Project, which did the study.
Almost $200 million in the last 5 weeks being spent, and it's truly a remarkable number of ads that are up on the airwaves.
The report shows that spending is up sharply from 2 years ago for candidates and interest groups, but the national party committees are doing less than they did in 2008. The Wesleyan Media Project is a collaboration of Wesleyan and Washington State Universities and Bowdoin College. Peter Overby, NPR News, Washington.
Three of the rescued miners in Chile have left the hospital where they've been checked over by doctors. The rest of the men will be heading home later today. Annie Murphy in Chile reports the first of the men to speak to reporters kept his comments very brief.
Miner Edison Peña, still wearing his dark glasses, addressed the crowd of press and neighbors outside his home after he arrived, saying, "Thank you for believing that we were alive."
Annie Murphy reporting from Chile. The miners have apparently agreed to guard their story closely so they can share the earnings they're expected to make from media appearances, books, and movies. This is NPR News from Washington. Investors have been pushing stock prices higher in recent days, in part because they think the Federal Reserve will begin buying government debt to help bolster the U.S. economy. An indication of where the central bank stands on the matter could come this morning when Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke speaks at the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston. Steve Beckner of Market News International reports Fed policymakers last month said they were prepared to do more money stimulus moves if needed to shore up the economy and guard the nation from deflation.
Since then, comments by some top officials have led Fed watchers to believe that when they meet again in early November, Bernanke and his colleagues will resume quantitative easing. That's a policy the Fed pursued last year and early this year, buying $1.7 trillion of mortgage-backed securities and other bonds to push down long-term interest rates. While some Fed officials think the central bank needs to pump more money into the economy in this fashion, others are adamantly opposed. Bernanke is apt to have the last word, so his comments this morning will be closely watched worldwide. For NPR News, I'm Steve Beckner in Boston.
The nation's largest operator of retail pharmacies, CVS, says it will pay $75 million in fines for allowing repeated purchases of decongestants containing pseudoephedrine, purchases that led to a spike in drug trafficking in Southern California. Pseudoephedrine is one of the main ingredients in methamphetamine, and federal laws limit the amount a customer can buy in a day. The ancient Acropolis in Athens is closed for a third straight day by a labor protest. Employees at the Greek Culture Ministry claim that they're owed up to 2 years of back pay. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News, in Washington.